Now, a caller says the council take in charge only roads with private built estates. Green areas do not come under this, although the council take in charge of the roads. They do not own them. Hi, Greg. Hedge cutting is not allowed at the moment, but if unable to see when you access roads because roads are totally overgrown, can you cut hedges for safety? I'm not sure if individuals can. The council certainly can. Hedges can be cut for road safety purposes, even at this time of year. And also, they can be cut through the normal agricultural forestry activity. But I'm not sure, like, there is an exception that they can be cut for road safety. I'm not sure if an individual can do that or it has to be the council. We'll get some clarity on that for you because it is quite important. On today's Wellness Wednesday, we're joined by Dr. Dara Reynolds of Errigal Dental in Letterkenny. Good morning, Dara.
Morning, Greg.
You're looking very chilled. How are you getting on?
Fine. Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Before we get to some listeners' questions, how important is good oral hygiene? I mean, because we think of it just on the maybe the basic levels, our teeth, or maybe even to a lesser extent, people think about their gums as part of their oral health. But how important is it to keep our mouths clean and tip-top?
Very is the answer. It's very important. Oral health in recent times, there's a lot of research pointing to the fact that if your gums and teeth are in poor condition, it has a direct link to what's called your cardiovascular health, you know, basically the health of your heart, the health of your arteries, because a lot of the bacteria that can build up within the oral cavity around our teeth, around our gums. If you know, a lot of people will have experienced bleeding gums when they brush and floss and stuff like that. So that's a mechanism whereby the oral bacteria can get access, get into your blood vessels, get into your blood system, and then contract to your heart, can find sort of weak spots in your cardiovascular system, can exploit those weaknesses, and then, you know, cause you heart problems or, you know, arterial problems down the road. There is also perhaps, well, it's more tenuous, but there are some possible links to dementia and issues like that as well. But, you know, there's a lot more research to be done on that.
And how often should one brush their teeth?
The gold standard is twice a day. Brush twice a day. Ideally, floss once a day. Whether you floss morning or evening doesn't matter so much. But, I mean, look, it'd be great if everybody was brushing twice a day and flossing twice a day. But, you know, I know the vast majority of my patients, you know, don't do that. Like an absolute bare minimum is to brush, you know, once a day. But that's, I mean, that's literally the minimum.
And flossing. So do you floss all your teeth? Is it the front teeth? What's the story?
There's an old saying in dentistry, you only brush and floss the teeth you want to keep. So
okay.
So, I mean, yes, again, ideally, you know, brush all your teeth and yes, floss between all the teeth. Like flossing can be a bit of a drag. It's like when you're a kid learning to tie your shoelaces, you're all fingers and thumbs. But, you know, something you do more regularly, you get better at. There are other things that people can introduce into their oral hygiene arsenal. For example, like there's water flossers available now, which people find a lot easier to use than you know, physical floss, and it is effective. So it's, you know, worth a shot if you can't get to grips with flossing.
Yeah, and it probably is one of those ones. It's better than not doing anything.
Anything. It's like exercise. Yeah. Any exercise is better than none. So anything you're doing to keep your mouth clean and healthy is better than not doing anything.
One of my back teeth is cracked. I was told it was cracked, but it's not. You know, I can't get it filled, but sometimes if I'm chewing, it feels like I need a filling.
That's a real awkward one to sort sometimes. It's, I suppose now as a species, we're living an awful lot longer than we used to. Therefore, our teeth are having to last a lot longer. We've got a diverse diet. You know, back when we were sort of, you know, cave dwellers, you know, if somebody got to their 30s, they were the village elder, whereas that's not the case now, you know. So it's just, it's miles on the clock. The teeth are having to do more for longer. Little cracks can develop. So say you fracture your foot or a bone or a finger. The bone has the ability to repair itself, where a tooth has no such ability. So once a tooth is cracked, that crack's there forever. It can become a nuisance. Yeah, when you're chewing on it, you get this little dart of pain through the tooth. It's really can only be managed. You either sort of stick with it, or you reduce the whatever tooth is biting into that tooth, you might take a little bit off the opposing tooth, essentially just to reduce the pressure on the cracked tooth. Or ultimately, you can do things like root canals, crowns, which is, you know, it's a lot bigger work, it's more expensive work, but sometimes it just has to be done if the crack is becoming a real nuisance.
And it depends on the patient's tolerance and what they want to live with or what.
Exactly, yeah. If they can stick with it, deal with it, fine. If not, there are solutions.
Can your teeth be a cause of ringing in your ears, tinnitus? As on brushing my teeth, the ringing seems worse?
That's not one I've heard before.
I suppose, we hear through bones, don't we?
We do. We hear, because it's like, you know, when you hear your own voice recorded, it sounds unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. It sounds different to you than, you know, when you what the sound you hear within your own head. So, look, I guess there is a possibility that brushing, maybe if they're using an electric toothbrush, that has a certain vibration effect, which maybe manifest itself as an increase in tinnitus temporarily.
Do you know who I'd be interested in giving that information to? Is an audiologist, because it's the audiologist that actually might be able to sort of work with that a little bit better.
Yeah, because it's not one I've heard before, and yeah, it might be better to talk to an audiologist.
In case there is a vibration or something in the structure and how it hears, maybe it's something that can be more easily resolved than tinnitus for that matter. A caller says, am I better getting implants over spending money on root canals and crowns? Rheumatoid arthritis medication if my teeth very bad. Thank you so much.
Right. As a rule of thumb, you're better to work with what you've already got. So therefore, yeah, stick with your own teeth if you can. Now, sometimes a point is reached where your tooth is simply just goosed. It's beyond fixing it, and it doesn't matter how much time or money or effort you're going to throw at it or your dentist throws at it. So, you know, the rule of thumb is if your teeth are reparable, if they're fixable, go with that. But if the point has been reached, you know, beyond which there's no return, if the tooth cannot be fixed, then no, implants are certainly the way to go. And implants certainly would stand head and shoulders above the alternatives, which may be dentures or bridges or whatever it is.
Can a childhood gap in the front teeth be filled or closed in adult years?
If it's a gap between two natural teeth, that's what orthodontics is for. The teeth can be shifted around, moved around to close the gap.
Even so, you can do that as an adult, of course. I've seen adult braces.
Like there's no people issues. Doing that. I've patients doing that. I think oldest patient currently in orthodontics is in their 50s. And I've heard of patients into their 60s and even beyond. Like a lot of people now, when they're doing orthodontics, it's with a view to doing cosmetic dentistry afterwards. You know, a lot of people will have heard of composite bonding or veneers. So they move the teeth around to get them in the optimal position so that you can do composite veneers or crowns or whatever it is. But sort of to go back to your first question, your listener's question, if their teeth are gappy or crooked, orthodontics is brilliant to resolve that. If they're talking now about a tooth that was lost as a kid, if there was an actual, you know, tooth that got knocked out perhaps, it depends on the situation. If the adjacent teeth can mimic the first tooth that was lost, you could bring them together to close the gap. Alternative, what also can be done if they're into sort of adolescence or adulthood, you can hold the gap open, you know, and do a bridge in there, or in later life an implant or something like that. But you're looking at orthodontics one way or another.
Yeah, okay. My 10-year-old boy's terrified of the dentist. He was going great for regular treatment, but now he's afraid of going near them. So he's acquired the fear of the dentist. That can happen for a myriad of reasons, of course.
Yeah, it can. And it'd be interesting to know, you know, or was there a particular instance or something happened in the dental surgery that sort of precipitated the reaction? Or, you know, is it just maybe from talking to friends at school? Or quite often I find sometimes that some dentists are cool about having the parents in along with the child in the surgery, and that is for the most part what happens. But it's often, I find, better from, you know, years of experience now, that if the parent can just essentially sit back a little bit, don't crowd the kid, and I have to put it this way, don't pander. You know, essentially, if you can let the dentist and the child build up a rapport, let them sort of get on with it without the child feeling that at every instance they can, you know, jump out of the chair, run into mom or dad's arms and be whisked away from this terrible place, you know. So, yeah, sometimes it just takes a little bit of time to develop that. And I'd say unless something specifically horrible happened to the young, the 10-year-old in question, I'd say, you know, it'll come
but
right.
Even if they did, that reassurance in that conversation, you know, unhindered with the dentist would reassure them, look, if that happened, it was for this reason, but we're doing that and that's not good. You know what I mean? And yeah, I think that's really sound advice, yeah, that take a step back a little bit and trust the child and the relationship with the dentist.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you get, as you say, in a lot of things, trust the process and let them sort of get back on track.
Yep, that caller with that brushing exacerbates the tinnitus, they do use an electric toothbrush, but they say thanks for the answer there. Yes. I'm in my mid-50s on injection treatment for my bowel. I find a funny feeling in all of my teeth. Ever heard of that?
Injection treatment for the bowel? Guessing that's probably something like an autoimmune, maybe ulcers, colitis or something like that. You see, well, our entire gut is sort of all linked, so from mouth right down to stomach and beyond. So that if people are having, say, a lot of issues with gastric reflux, a lot of people are on Nexium or Nexium-like products at the moment to reduce gastric reflux. So what that does is, you know, particularly during sleep, during nighttime, you can get sort of stomach acid coming up into the mouth, not a huge amount, but some of it, and that can certainly have a detrimental effect on the gums, can make the teeth feel a bit on edge. And I've seen cases where it's gone on for years and years. We've actually, you know, I've had patients where I've been losing enamel. I've told them, look, have you spoken to your GP? Maybe you need to have a scope done, see if there are issues with your stomach, because, you know, the signs are on it that you're getting a lot of stomach acid into the mouth. And we've had a lot of success, yeah, where, you know, suddenly we've got a problem diagnosed, they've got to sort it out, they're on the correct meds, and okay, you can't turn the clock back, but at least it stops it getting any worse. So, I mean, to answer again, go back to their first question, there is a possibility if they might want to have a look at their meds, talk to their GP, can something get altered to stop reflux if that's part of the problem.
With that. But our mouths are full of nerves, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Like our entire, you know, our head, our skull, the mouth, jam-packed. Full. Yeah. That's why we use local anesthetics in dentistry. That's because, you know, you want to numb these teeth or numb the gums to be able to work on them, because, you know, a lot of people have extraordinarily sensitive teeth. Even they find having a professional cleaning done, they can find that quite troublesome, quite uncomfortable. So, yes.
And I'm not suggesting with the last listener, but sometimes you can, like I get it with my teeth, but also if I see someone walking in bare feet and grass, you know, like Naked and Afraid or one of those shows, like my feet, and I can feel it in my nervous system coming up through my feet, almost imagine it. The nervous system is a remarkable thing, but I think we can play with it a little bit too. Do you do composite bonding, or would you recommend it actually for that matter?
Yeah, composite bonding has really been around for years, but it's become a cover or a catch-all phrase maybe within the last decade to describe all sorts of various different types of cosmetic dentistry that's done through the medium of what's called composite. Composite is simply tooth-coloured filling material. It's been around for decades. It's been around for 50 years probably, but it's been used more and more in the front part of the mouth, where once upon a time we were doing porcelain veneers and porcelain crowns. Composite is a more what's called in dentistry a conservative treatment, insofar as you're adding to the teeth, you're not stripping any enamel away like is sometimes the case with crowns and veneers, porcelain veneers. So yeah, composite bonding, I do recommend it because it is conservative. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy enhancing people's smiles. And it's very common treatment modality. In fact, most dentists will do some type of composite bonding at this stage.
Here's a question where sort of two areas of health meet. I'm on a blood thinner and I have to get a tooth out. The last time it happened, I stayed on the blood thinner, but I bled for 2 hours. So I'm a bit worried now. What would Dara recommend? Continuing taking the tablets or not? Now, I presume they've been prescribed blood thinning tablets for a very good reason.
Yes, and there are different types, the most common being warfarin, which has been around for a very long time. A lot of people will be familiar with that one. And then there's newer types, for example, Plavix is a trade name for one of them. Warfarin and the like, it has to be stopped. you'll have to talk to your dentist and your GP, and they may have to liaise on that. It'll have to be stopped perhaps 24, perhaps 48 hours ahead of extraction. And again, it depends on the type of extraction. If it's going to be tricky, if it's going to be messy, you know, the length of time you have to be off the warfarin, yeah, it will have to be longer. Then all of that changes when it comes to the newer anticoagulants or the newer blood thinners like Plavix. Again, if it's not going to be a terribly difficult extraction, you can probably plow on, keep taking the Plavix. But again, all of that stuff, your dentist and your GP will have to liaise on that and decide what's the best course of action, because it changes per extraction, it changes per individual.
Yeah, and your GP will know like that, you know, exactly what the right thing to do in that situation.
Yeah, there are guidelines for all of these things, yeah. And it depends on how much of the stuff you're on, why you're on it, what the reason being, you know, and again, then from the dental perspective, how difficult is the extraction going to be? Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be tricky potentially? You know, so again, that's why your dentist and GP will have to talk to each other and then talk to you on that.
Yeah, I can't be overcome. I have osteoporosis and may need an extraction. Who do I see?
If you've got osteoporosis and need an extraction, that's not a problem. But if you have osteoporosis and are on a medication in the family of what are called bisphosphonates, a lot of people are on something called Prolia. It's a six-monthly injection. Now, if you're on the like of that, that can create serious hassle if you're having teeth taken out. So again, this is one where, you know, it really depends on the medication you're on, how much of it you're on, how regularly you're on it, for how long have you been on it. Again, these are areas that your dentist and your GP or specialist, whoever it is, will need to talk, because potentially there might be no issue at all. Might be straightforward, easy, tooth pops out, Bob's your uncle, no hassle. Or it could be a really difficult situation with long-term repercussions for the patient. So that's why it's important for you, this individual, and their dentist and their specialist to get their heads together on this.
I never doubted it, but it goes to show how broad your medical knowledge has to be beyond the mouth, Dara.
Yeah, well, I suppose going back for years, the undergraduate program in dentistry and in medicine is basically the same thing for the first
you can see why it needs to be.
First 2 or 3 years. And then, you know, you go off in your different directions. But in a lot of ways, a dentist essentially is just an oral doctor.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to have a pretty broad grounding in a lot of aspects of general medicine as well.
Yeah, for sure. Would you recommend spotlight toothbrushes? Are they better than usual electric toothbrushes? Thank you.
I can't that specific brand. I know it's an Irish brand and
oh right, it is just an electric toothbrush then. It's just a brand of electric toothbrush.
It's a particular brand of electric toothbrush that they're made here. I mean, electric toothbrushes in general do a better job than manual. I would say, you know, that's a particular Irish brand, and I believe they're pretty good. What I recommend to my patients, alternate brand, it's Oral-B. They have a range of electric toothbrushes, tend to be excellent. I use them myself, and that's my recommendation.
Yeah, I don't get anyone actually blooming brushing their teeth. Stick a toothbrush on the end of an electric grass blower as long as you shove it into your mouth.
there's a bit more to it than that.
No, I know. I'm only messing. Let me see. Are receding gums reversible? I think I might know the answer to that one myself.
That's a tricky one. Generally, no. It's down to oral hygiene. You can, if you catch it, you can stop it getting worse. Is it reversible? That's awkward. There are various little surgical procedures where you try and reposition the gums, which are uncomfortable. They're expensive and not always successful. Mm-hmm. So you have to think carefully before going down that road. You'd have to see what's called a specialist, what's called a periodontist. A periodontist is somebody that deals specifically in all matters, gums, if you like. So your general dental practitioner could refer you off to a specialist to have a look at doing that.
Another question, can amyl be restored if it's worn away, or when it's gone, it's gone?
When it's gone, it's gone. Yeah, you can replace it with an enamel-like material, like we talked about composite earlier. What we're seeing now is an awful lot of people are grinding their teeth at nighttime. You know, life is generally more stressful. We're always switched on. We're on our phones. We never sort of unplug. So I'm seeing a lot of enamel loss through nighttime grinding and stuff like that. That's very difficult to manage. Yeah, but. You, again, when the enamel is gone, it's gone. You cannot replace it with enamel, but you can try and replace it with composite. That's what's called bonded or adhesive dentistry. It works, but it's never as good. It's never as tough. It's never as durable as your original enamel.
Well, on grinding teeth, a couple of people sort of asking, how do you know if you're grinding your teeth? One listener wakes up with tension in the jaw and a sore head. I suggest they are, or at least closing the jaw very tightly. So that would be a very strong indication. Well, what is the fix for it? I mean, obviously you want to relieve your stress, right? And I presume there are mouth guards and stuff. Is there a way to stop doing it?
Yeah, mouth guards are the gold standard there. You can go to, I know a lot of pharmacies stock a sort of like a boil in the bag, you know, one of these things. It was like gum shields, used to be sports gum shields, where you can sort of warm them up, mold them to your teeth. They work, you know, they work okay. They're an awful lot better than nothing. And then what I often use, if we have a patient and we're trying to diagnose whether they're grinding or not, and we're a little unsure, I would get them to buy something like that because it's relatively cheap and cheerful. They wear it. If they see signs of wear and tear on that, then that diagnoses the issue. It confirms that they are grinding, and then we can get them a better fitting, like a custom night guard that is easier for them to wear at nighttime. So, you know, so they're not lying awake at night.
Less likely to know it's even there. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I have a cold sore and my jaw and gum are hurting. Also, I have a swollen gland in my neck. Do I see a dentist or do I see a doctor?
Possibly both. I mean, if you've if they are related to each other, or if one appears, both sore appears close to sore gum, the swollen gland in the neck, I think the cold sore would need to be pretty bad to cause localized inflammation in your cervical glands, your neck glands. So we might be talking about two different problems here. So I would suggest seeing one rather than one or the other, possibly see both.
Yeah, and we do tend to sort of adopt the role of a doctor or dentist. I mean, you know, and presume because it's in above the shoulders that they must be connected. This is a bit of a novelty question, maybe. If someone insists on drinking fizzy drinks, they've been told that you better use a straw because it goes straight down your gullet and doesn't interact with your teeth as much. Can you see any logic to that?
I've heard of that before, yeah. Fizzy drinks per se aren't really the problem, so long as they're you know, sugar free or it's an interesting topic. I'll get on my soapbox now. I'll preach a little that I have the opportunity. What we're seeing a lot now in young men and young women who are sort of gym goers, a lot of people are into training, big into the GA, big into football, big into athletics, all sorts of stuff, using a lot of energy drinks, which aren't necessarily fizzy, by the way, but tend to have a high sugar content, like a lot of stuff that's marketed as isotonic. We're really noticing it's wrecking people's teeth. So again, I would encourage people, if they are regular gym goers, try and stick to water if you can.
I'm one of those that doesn't go to the gym regularly, but I did. There is a couple of those drinks that I fancy now and again, and you actually do get a sense of it coating your teeth almost. Yeah. It's a funny old sensation.
There's a lot of sugar in them. It's not necessarily when you read the label, it may not, you know, talk about carbohydrates and various things, which in other words, it's just sugars of one type or another, you know?
All right, Dara, listen, fantastic as always. Really appreciate your time and taking the time out of your busy, busy morning. Take care of yourself. Thanks so much indeed.
Cheers, Greg.
That's Dr. Dara Reynolds. He's in Errigal Dental in Letterkenny. So if you have any dental inquiries, obviously get along to your own dentist or if you're a member of Dara's clinic or what have you. And it is time for Business Matters. And the Business Matters podcast from Highland Radio goes live every Wednesday and will be up live very shortly, in fact. Its presenter is Chris Ashmore and he is in studio with me. Hi, Chris. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. Water seems to always be press releases about Waterworld reopening. I'm not sure if it changes ownership or it's constantly being invested in, but it seems almost every other year it's reopening.
Yes, well, I suppose maybe like a bar and a hotel, you need to constantly update, with the times. And the good news is for people who are fans of Bundoran's number one tourist attraction, Waterworld, it is reopening its doors after an extensive modernization program costing around €2 million. Wow. So there's well, basically, if you go in, you'll notice that the changing rooms have been completely altered. A lot more of them. There's more lockers, toilets, showers. It's more spacious. And it's just all enhancing, as we spoke about on last week's show, the visitor experience.
Yeah, okay. Friday the 11th of July, which is another option for people if they're looking to do something with the young'uns over the summer.
Yeah, and just worth pointing out, for those who are maybe not going to be in the pool and availing of that side of things, there's actually a new viewing area, which is nice for the parents to sit if maybe they're watching the kids and having a cup of coffee and that sort of thing. So that will enhance matters as well.
Okay.
And then there's the usual slides and flumes and all that sort of thing. So if you're into that, and great to have it if the weather is not too good outside as well.
Oh, defo. Circular dress collaboration in Alkali. We've talked about this before. It's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Yes, it's all about the circular economy, reusing materials. Circular Dress Collaborative in Letterkenny is one of the first companies in Ireland to be part of it. It's a pilot project. 100 businesses around the country are getting a verification mark for social enterprises. And basically, it's just to encourage and to have a little bit of a certain playing field there that's giving people criteria. You have to tick the boxes, but it's the shape of things to come. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, the Donegal GEA Business Breakfast, it's shaping up too. More big names added to the lineup.
Yes, taking place tomorrow morning in the Clannery Hotel at 8 o'clock. So Jim McGuinness, no surprise, he's going to be there. Donna Kelly of the Circuit Group will be there. Also, Donegal GA Chairperson Mary Coughlin, who you're going to be talking to indeed shortly. There'll be raffles and auction.
Shay Gibbons there now.
Yeah, I hear that. And proceeds to the training fund and the charity partners at Donegal Hospice. So a win-win situation there as the build-up continues. And just on a not unrelated matter, many people going to the match may be aware of the parking around Clonliffe College, which is one of the main sort of car parking areas just near Croke Park. But the seminary site there in Drumcondra, not sure how this is going to affect the parking in the years to come, because, Greg, there's planning permission for 1,100 apartments there. Ooh, so
righty,
that might have an impact. Not this weekend, but...
No, they might never start. No. right, Food Starter Programme and Business Support Clinic. What's this about?
There's a Food Starter Programme beginning shortly. So if you have an idea, look, I don't know, Greg, how good your scones are or your flapjacks, whatever, but maybe you want to commercialise it. This is run through the local enterprise office. You'll get all sorts of tips about the whole food side of things. And importantly, food legislation, health and safety, and there's a lot of hoops that you have to go through.
But they aren't insurmountable. With the right advice and support, you know, sometimes people might be discouraged by that. But, you know, there's lots of people who are working with them.
Yeah, and absolutely. And this is, I suppose, one of the appeals of the course, that sometimes people might think, you know, it could be a bit daunting. And there is certain things you have to obviously comply with.
But there.
Look, if you know, if you're in the know and there's assistance there to help you with the various applications that you'll have to go through. So contact the local enterprise office for that if you're interested in that. And they also, coming up shortly, is a business support clinic. Great way of just sort of getting a good idea of how your business is going, bouncing a few things off people. And that's taking place this Friday, the 11th.
Okay, so on the podcast, of course, you talk all things business. And, of course, tourism is a huge string in our bow from a tourism perspective. And you're starting to see now the schools are closed, the exams are finished. You're starting to see the numbers creep up in our most beautiful county. And you're focusing on a particular tourism initiative this week, Chris.
Yes, this is in the Mulroy Bay area. So essentially the area north of Letterkenny that takes in the likes of Cranford, Downings, Milford, Kerrykeel, Fannet, that sort of area. And they had a booklet. They produced a booklet down there, the Mulroy Drive Tourism Group. And there is this Mulroy Drive, which is a 35-kilometre route. And Paddy Logue is the chair of the tourism group down there. And they've used the website now that they've launched to tie in with the booklet. They're encouraging people to supply them with the information. And when you go into it, Greg, it's a relatively small area, but it's quite amazing just how much there really is there. And it's not just geared towards tourists and trying to attract people from outside the county, but many people within the county, we don't know what's on our own doorstep.
I was in Kerrykeel yesterday, and, you know, it's a buzzing little place. It's not that little too. Some wonderful old buildings, the old bakery on the outskirts in and of itself is beautiful, the Shore Drive, but then you go into it, and as I say, there's lots going on, lots of businesses. You know, Fannad itself, how many people have been to Fannad? Obviously people more familiar with the likes of Downing's and Milford, but there are just beautiful little places dotted around that peninsula, and you can go and explore it in a day, like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, but actually make a day of it.
And so many small enterprises have emerged in the last few years, and Paddy Logue touches on this. You know, you've everything from surfing, kayaking, rock climbing, and often these are one person operations or two person operations. They may only be seasonal, and that is part of the whole initiative, is to extend away from the traditional summer to get in those shoulder periods. And he also makes a point that, you know, there's really good value to be got still here in Donegal.
Basically, it's an information tool for to let people know, both locally and away coming on holidays here, of what's in the area, with from beaches to golf courses to anything at all that we think we might want to avail of. Visitors come in, they do, especially from continent, they tend to plan their trip and they look for information on where they're going, what's to visit, and this is what we hope our website will do, and we're targeting that type of a trade. So we're just trying to highlight our area and produce as much information as we can for that area. It's very difficult for small enterprises to get their name out and to get it, say, to a visitor in Holland or France or Germany that might be thinking of coming. They don't have the resources to do it. And maybe by putting it all together on the one page, we can do it. I mean, to be fair, in the last 5 years, the amount of small enterprise businesses that have started up, like through kayaking and boat trips on Sheephaven and stuff, there's a lot more for people to do now, but it's getting it highlighted and so that the visitor can know that it's there.
And they're doing so well, Chris. You're a big fan of that website.
Yes, indeed. Sometimes you go into websites and you click and you
do fancy it for their own good.
Maybe they're overly complicated, but this is very much, it's clear. There's subsections. You click on it. For example, there's a section on golf, and if I click Rossapenna, it takes me straight to links it there. So very quick, very well laid out, imaginative, bright, and I suppose the old cliche, it does what it says on the tin.
A bit like yourself, imaginative, bright, and you do what you say on the tin. Right, okay. That podcast will be up live for you shortly on our website, highlandradio.com. It's in the listen back section all week, and there's a whole plethora of podcasts, 250, in excess of 250 at this point, well in excess. Talk of all things from making honey to creating a tourism guide and everything in between. It's all there. Fantastic resource if you just want to hear about people working in business in our region, but also too, if you have a business, there's so much advice and, you know, what worked for businesses, what didn't work, Chris. It's a huge resource for that type of thing.
And so often, Greg, you know, you hear other people's stories, and sometimes that can indeed be the light bulb moment for you.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, I was reading a comment. Chris, thanks so very much indeed. Chat to you in a bit.
Thank you.
Bye. Stephen Sheridan's chair of the Downing's GEA Club. Stephen, and you're one of a good morning to you, by the way. You're in the same boat as an awful lot of clubs. A lot of disappointed members in Downing's and surrounds today.
Good morning, Greg. Stephen Shevlin here.
Shevlin, sorry. Yeah. As if I didn't know you, Stephen. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, there's a lot of disappointment in Downing's. Now we haven't allocated the tickets to the members yet because we don't want to let anybody down, and we're still hoping that we'll get another allocation from the county board. So we submitted a request for 126 tickets from the county board. We received 65% of that. You know, the demand is high from members and family and those who have given significant time to and commitment to the club. I know that there's an agreement between Croke Park and Ticketmaster, you know, but it's disappointing that grassroots members, you know, volunteers and former players, coaches, committee members are, you know, they're overlooked in this process, Greg.
But we're being told to become part of our local GAA club, and part of the gravy of that, of course, is, you know, better access to tickets. Croke Park's not going to be sold out. It's what, 60,000 people might be there? How can you be only getting 65% of tickets you're requesting?
I can't answer that. I'm just hoping that the county board will get a further allocation from Croke Park. You know, on previous figures in Donegal, there's 11,500 members. So if you take the McGuinness factor into it, let's say there's 15,000. Let's say there's an increase of 25%. That's 15,000 members. That's 18% of the overall capacity of Croke Park. And if you give me 25%, and give the neutrals 10%, that's 50% of it. The capacity of Croke Park. Where's the other 50% gone? One of your rival radio stations said that they're expecting 70,000 supporters.
Right,
I know it's out of the hands of the county board. It's simply not acceptable when committed club members can't access tickets. And these are members that have been travelling the length and the breadth of the country supporting Donegal.
I know the frustration. And they genuinely have been doing so.
When the second master opened up last week at 2 o'clock, I logged on, hit the button the moment the site opened. I was 7,400 in the queue. I was hoping to purchase 4 tickets side by side for myself and my family. I was unable to get tickets beside each other. You know, the current system is beginning to resemble airline seat allocation. You know, where priority will come at a price eventually. I hope this is not
well, I also too was chatting to someone who could book 2 adults and 1 child ticket, but couldn't book 1 adult and 2 child tickets. You know, that doesn't make sense. Stephen, where are your tickets for? I mean, are they for the lower stands, upper stands, both?
Well, we've got some for the lower stand, we've got some for the upper stand, we've got 4 or 5 for the hill. It's hard to know. You know, I don't have them here in front of me, but
I just wanted to get a sense.
I'm very, very reluctant to distribute the tickets to the members because, you know, when members fail to secure the tickets, they don't blame Croke Park or they don't blame Ticketmaster.
No,
they blame the local club officers.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's where the finger blame's going to be pointed. You know, would this happen if it was Dublin, if it was Armagh? The president of our association is influencing the platform to make sure that it doesn't happen again. A more fair and a more transparent system has to be put in place.
Okay.
You know, either release all the tickets to Ticketmaster or ensure the clubs are given a reasonable window to submit their orders before any public sales.
All right, Stephen, take care of yourself. Thank you for that. Stephen had to rush into a meeting, and Mary Coughlin, the chair of the Donegal GAA County Board, time, very important as well. Mary, I want to talk about, listen, there's a brilliant buzz around the county. Lots and lots of people are going to get tickets. They've got their accommodation or they're driving up and down, and we've been doing the build-up to the game and we'll continue to do so. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the big positive nature of this as well. But obviously, Mary, as you understand, we have to recognise where, you know, people are finding a bit of frustration, and it's the hardcore fans. It is those fans that are members of Neave Breach, Termon, you know, St. Noel's, etc. Go ahead.
Just a minute, Greg. First of all, you have the wrong person on if that's what you want to talk about. You should have rang Alan Milton in Croke Park. So, let's get a few facts. And the chairman of Downing's is completely correct in what he said. So
can I just ask a question, Mary? What did you mean I rang the wrong person?
Because you want me to answer on behalf of Croke Park,
I simply wanted you as chair of the GAA in Donegal to talk about what your clubs are going through.
I know exactly. We had a county board meeting or a county committee meeting on Monday, and the Cahirlach there and many others, including all of the executive, completely endorse what has been said. So from what I can ascertain, there is an agreement between Ticketmaster and Croke Park about the sale of X number of tickets. I rang a number of colleagues during the week to see what their allocations were and how they managed for other games. The majority of them do not use the system that we use, except if they're in an All-Ireland final. So that's the first thing. Second of all, we were not advised, and the Treasurer had been on 30 seconds after we won the game about the ticket allocation, that the allocation to the clubs would be given simultaneously to them going on sale on Ticketmaster. What should have happened is that the clubs had a chance to put in their orders, then out of that you get your allocation, and then after that the tickets would be available to purchase on Ticketmaster, and that did not happen. Now, the situation is we got an allocation of 3,000 tickets. That was not enough. It was something like 7,500 orders came in. Every hour of every day, the county board, the executive, and particularly our treasurer, has been trying to get more tickets and more tickets. We did get an allocation on Friday. We got an allocation on Monday. We got an allocation yesterday. It is not going to satisfy, from what I can gather, absolutely every need. And now I've noticed that a number of clubs are working together trying to sort things out. It does not take away from the difficulties that the executive of clubs have, particularly their secretary and chairperson, who are dealing with these issues. We did not get enough Hill tickets. Like, in the main, a lot of our young people who play football like to go to the Hill, especially when Dublin's not in it. So, you know, that is something they all wanted to look forward to. And we did not get half enough tickets. We did not get enough tickets that were families. But there's three ladies working in the office who are doing their level best to try and facilitate and help people. Mm-hmm. There's also a proviso, there's a formula there. If there's based on membership, it's based on membership from the 31st of March. So if your club has 400 members or 200 members, that is their membership. There's a formula worked out as how it's divided. You take your membership, you divide it by the number of members in the county, which is about 13,500, you multiply it by 100, and that equals the percentage of the tickets that's allocated, that's brought. The big issue of the delay is the fact that we were hoping, against hope, to get more tickets, and that's why a lot of the clubs were delayed, because we had quite a number of clubs who had over what their membership would be. On the assumption, I assume, that a lot of people would be supporting their club, or that they would see that the club would be a better way to get tickets. So that is the situation. We are doing our level best, but we're not happy about the way the county has been.
I don't know what part of this conversation you thought I was trying to blame you. What we invited you on for, and maybe there's been a miscommunication, was as us as a county, who are all experiencing this, not to blame the three hardworking people, which I certainly never did or never would, that are trying to sort this out. But what can we do as a collective, maybe as you as the chair of the Donegal County Board leading us, to make sure
the chairman and Downings did say something which is quite true. But there's a couple of things. First of all, it's fantastic. I spoke to a couple of people who have lost out in the competition, and they turned around to me and said, well, I wish I had your problem. Mm. Now, that is to the fact that we are where we are. That being said, if there's a situation whereby the methodology in which tickets are being allocated from now on for any game apart from an All-Ireland final, then we may have to look at what we do. In other words, like, I spoke to Kerry. Kerry don't do what we do, except if they're in an All-Ireland. Meath don't do it. They all use Ticketmaster. And there's an allocation for sponsors and executive management, et cetera, et cetera. Small allocation made to each county, and then everybody has to do it themselves. Now, there is an issue there and a question there for a lot of people is, why should we not be, what's the point in being a club member? And I can see that point, and it is a very good perspective. But I suppose the club is more than tickets. The club is about people. It's about training young people. It's about creating a talent, an atmosphere, a sense of community. But that's a different argument to today. We are still trying to endeavour to get more tickets, if at all possible. It is creating a lot of difficulty. And looking at the number of tickets that have been sold, it looks like it may or may nearly a sellout for the two games that are on Sunday. But I appreciate very much all the work that people are doing, and everybody's doing their level best to try and ensure that we get as many tickets as we can and satisfy. Look, I was talking to them in Kerry, and like, not everybody in Kerry is going to the game, but I would say everybody in Donegal would. So, you know, we have a dynamic up here where everybody is supporting their team. We went out strong over the last number of years to support them. And particularly this year and last year, there has been a huge number of people attending. Like, we had 15,500 people in Ballybuffet. I think it was 9,000 in the main at games in other counties. So we have that tendency to be very supportive of our teams. Yeah, okay. And we're ambitious, and rightly so, to be ambitious. Uh-huh. We're ambitious for the team, and we're ambitious for our own people, and we're ambitious for our young people that hopefully would see the opportunity that they might have in the future by putting on our jersey.
All right, thanks for your time. Have a good day. Mary Coughlin, Chair of the Donegal County Board there. I don't know, I feel like the ticket fiasco is my fault now for some reason. But anyway, here we go. What's the weather forecast? What's the weather forecast letting us know? It is letting us know that it's going to be warm with spells of sunshine breaking through during the afternoon and evening. Temperatures of 19 to 21 degrees in high westerly winds. Okay, we're very near towards the end of the program. Now, tomorrow's Thursday again already. Can you believe it? My word, it's going in so quick. Bandwagon supporters getting all the tickets and genuine supporters who never miss a game missing out. Typical GEA, take your membership and give you two fingers then. The concerns seem to be pointing to bandwagon jumpers who maybe joined after... Sorry. If you joined after, is it March 31st or March 1st? After that, your membership doesn't entitle you to apply for tickets as such. Well, certainly not at the front of the queue, so I'm not sure how rigidly that's enforced. Hi, hedge cutting is not allowed at the moment, but if you're unable to see where your access road, because of roads, are totally overgrown, you can cut hedges for safety. So you can do that as an individual, as a citizen. Greg, tattoos are not rebellious these days. They are commonplace, which in my book makes them boring. I don't mean this in a judgy way, but sometimes now if someone doesn't have a tattoo, that's the person that stands out a little bit. And I'm not saying people got tattoos to stand out, if that makes sense. But now not having a tattoo is almost, if you're of a certain age, of course, is actually almost the new tattoo, if you know what I'm trying to say. Right, listen, thanks so much to all of you. Thanks to all of you who listened to the show today. If you watched the show today, texting and all that kind of crack. Any we didn't get to, we'll carry over till tomorrow. So until 9 o'clock, have a great day.